Hey y'all, my name is Henry Lakey, and I'm a senior this year. I've been educated at home for all of high school, and I will graduate this coming spring. Like many in this room, my parents have brought me to church as long as I can remember, and from a young age, I've been taught the gospel of Christ, which is simply this. We have chosen to rebel against God, and because of our insurrection, we deserve death. Yet God sent his son, Jesus Christ, down to earth to become the perfect sacrifice for our sin. We refused to see him as the Son of God and had him crucified for a crime he didn't commit. But Jesus couldn't be held by death, and he rose from the dead 3 days after his crucifixion and conquered sin and death forever. We no longer have to be separated from God, but as Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I accepted Jesus to be my Savior when I was 6 years old. You should be thinking, there's no way you understood all of that when you were 6 years old. You'd be right in thinking that. I only understood a small fraction of God's amazing salvation plan for all of humanity, but thought I knew much more than I did. I was eager to learn about God, but had not understood the fundamental principle of the gospel, that I was a sinner and deserved death. I looked at the sin in my life as being of minimal importance, since it wasn't a big deal compared to the ways others sinned. This ignorant rationalization of my sin would continue until I began sinning in ways that even my most righteous self couldn't justify. In sixth grade, I looked at pornography for the first time. I was horrified to realize what I was doing, but I couldn't admit it to anyone. How could I? I was the perfect kid who never sinned. I couldn't let everyone down, my parents, my small group leaders, my friends, God. No, I determined. I won't let anyone see this unsightly aspect of my life. My addiction to pornography would go on for months unchecked. On one particular day, I was looking at pornography, and my family could not find me anywhere. I couldn't hear them calling for me, and they soon began to freak out. When I finally came to them, I played off their worry as being overstated, but alarm bells began going off in my head. The reasons I had kept my addiction to pornography to myself were twofold. One, I didn't want to shatter the immaculate perception I thought people held of me. Two, I didn't want to burden anyone else with my sin struggles. I suddenly realized that despite my best efforts to contain my sin struggles in my jar, they were already seeping out through the cracks, and sooner or later, the jar was going to explode, covering everyone with the problems I thought I could control. This realization terrified me, and although I would have rather done just about anything else, I decided to tell my dad about my pornography addiction. I don't know what I expected him to do, yell at me, frown disapprovingly, disown me from the family. Whatever my expectation was, it was nowhere close to reality. As I broke down in tears and told him everything I had done, he loved me. He understood my pain and the ways in which I had sinned, yet he loved me the same. Through my father, I was able to comprehend the unimaginable grace that God had extended to me through his son, Jesus. If my imperfect dad loved me through my sin, how much more would a perfect God love me? Though I had already accepted Christ back when I was younger, this was the first day that I truly understood my desperate need for a savior. There's a saying that goes, "Democracy dies in darkness." Although I believe this statement to be true, which is beside the point, there is something much more important that dies in darkness. Us. I attempted to hide my sin away from those around me, thinking I could sustain a facade of perfection for my peers. But keeping my sin in darkness caused me unendurable pain. I couldn't stand pretending I was fine while I was dying on the inside. When I couldn't stand the pain of my addiction any longer, I confessed, first to God, then to my dad, and later to my small group, allowing the light to shine on my darkness and eradicating it. God has given us community so that we can live in the light. Ecclesiastes 4:9 through 10 says, "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up." The best way to handle your sin is to confess. First to God, and then to people that you trust, who are going to love you and encourage you to repent of your sins. As difficult as it was to confess, I firmly believe that it was the best and most freeing decision I have ever made, I still struggle with sexual purity every day, but with the help of God's word, as well as the community he has placed in my life, I'm no longer held captive by my sin, and am able to live freely as God has called me to. To those of you who are presenting a false image of yourself to your peers, pretending to be fine while you, inside you are broken by your mistakes, as I was, please know that God doesn't hate you for your sin. He loves us and hates our sin more than we ever could. If you only confess that you are broken and accept Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, he will rejoicingly take you into his kingdom. That is all God requires of us. Not perfection, not anything even close to it. As Psalm 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." I couldn't understand the greatness of God's gift until I understood how little I deserved it. When my own decisions brought me to the lowest I had ever been in my life, God remained beside me, waiting for me to call to him. That's all it takes. Simply a recognition of our own wickedness and a belief that Jesus' death and resurrection is enough to save us from ourselves. God will not despise a broken and contrite heart. Thank you for listening to my testimony.